Well, we're going to continue our Freedom Friday series this morning with Gary Bergstrom of Griswold, who joins us, longtime teacher and coach in the Griswold School District, is also an Old Navy man. Gary, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. A lot of folks know you from your work in the Griswold Community School System, but you know, before you got involved in that, you had an opportunity to jump into the Navy. What made you make that decision?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I've gone to a junior college in western Nebraska called McCook Junior College, and as I've told kids a million times, I didn't go to class much. I was too busy playing pool, even though I wasn't that good of a pool player. Finally, they said, well, maybe you need to do something else, and I was just spinning my wheels, so I went to the recruiting office in Hastings, Nebraska, about an hour away, and I signed up for 4 years in the U.S. Navy, and I've never regretted it, never, even though when I was in the Navy, I only remember the bad times, but today, I'd swear there wasn't a bad day ever because I only remember the good times. But yeah, I entered the Navy on February 25th, 1964. I entered, I don't know if it was special every year, but I entered with 94 other Nebraskans. So there was 95 of us, and we were called the All-Nebraska Beef Company. And I took the oath at the state capitol in Lincoln, and the oath was given by the governor of the state of Nebraska, the Honorable Frank Morrison. After we took the oath, we became admirals, which is 09, Officer 9, ninth one up top. We went from admiral in Nebraska Navy to seaman recruit in the United States Navy all in one day. We went down about 18 slots.
Yeah. Lost a few pay grades there.
Yeah, quite a few pay grades. By the way, speaking of pay grade, my SR, meaning seaman recruit, meaning E1, I remember that, and it was $68 a month.
Oh, wow.
1964, $68 a month.
You don't spend a lot of time in the pool halls at $68 a month.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Gary, did you talk to your family at all before you made that decision, or was that just a moment that you had where you decided, I'm not getting where I want to be, I need to make a change?
No, it's the last part. I needed to make a change. My father died when I was very, 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 very young. I did have a brother attempt to raise me. I don't think I was hard to raise, but he raised me. And of course, both my brothers served honorably in the Korean War. One saw extensive action in that war. And my father was too young for one. He was a teenager. And two, in 41 at Pearl, he had six kids and was over 40. So he never served, but both my brothers and all my cousins were either Marine Corps and Army. Having said that, I'm one of the few Bergstroms, if not the only one, that ever joined the Navy. But it was just kind of thing Bergstroms did. Yeah, they spent time serving their country, and like I said, I've never regretted it. I want to say a couple of things here. After the oath, we took buses to the airport, and I flew to San Diego from Lincoln, and that was my first trip ever in an airplane. And when we landed at San Diego and we went to the Naval Training Center there, which we thought was going to be 9 weeks, turned out to be 13 weeks. But when we got off that bus, we all stood on a number from 01 to 95, and I stood on 88, and that stayed with me until I die. And my service number became 776-4988. But boot camp was supposed to be 9 weeks, and instead it took 4 weeks to get on schedule, which I still don't understand today. So we spent exactly 13 weeks and 91 days. In boot camp, I developed hives, and I was in sick bay for a little bit, and I was scared to death that I was going to be set back and not graduate with the rest of them. But I did. I can't remember how long I was in sick bay, but I was there a few days. And of the 95 that started, two were sent home. I know the reasons, but I'm not going to say it. And one was set back, so 92 of the 95 graduated. So after I graduated from boot camp, I went home for 14 days, met my wife-to-be on a blind date. She lived 70 miles down the road. But my orders were to report to Treasure Island Naval Station in San Francisco, California. So when another guy in my company that was home with me, Leonard Gardner, his orders were to San Diego, California. And so we took it, and he said, you want to ride to San Diego? And then you can take a bus to San Francisco. And I said, yes, I would. So I rode with him in his 1955 green Ford. I'll never forget it. And we get to Las Vegas, and now we're headed down to San Diego. And it's the only time this has ever happened. We hit a sandstorm. I've never been around it since. And I know nobody believed this story, and I don't blame them. But when we got to San Diego, the car was no longer green. It had vanished. It was scary. It was just plain scary.
Wow.
The only time I'd ever been in a sandstorm. So my orders were to Treasure Island, San Fran, and I'll never forget this. When the day we got our orders in boot camp, mine order said PSI, Treasure Island, San Fran. So I ran up. I even remember the company commander's name, Chief Owens. I said, Chief, what's this PSI mean? Oh, he says, that's preschool indoctrination. And I said, well, what does that mean? Oh, you're probably going to shop here a captain, which is an old six or something like that, around Treasure Island for 6 months. Well, PSI turned out to be mess cooking. And I mess cooked for 6 months, cleaned dishes. We fed 5,000 sailors every single meal.
Well, that's no easy task.
And then I reported to what was in those days RD Radar. Radar no longer exists, but RDA school for 24 months. I was fortunate to get there. And we'd have a test every Friday. And if you flunked that test 2 weeks in a row, you were sent to sea and you became a bosun's mate. And that is something you didn't really want to do. You wanted to be a striker of some sort of a job. I don't know how many times I flunked. I do know this. I did not flunk 2 weeks in a row. So I graduated from RDA school. I came home for 2 weeks. And then I had orders to report to Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, a very special place, as all of us know. And I was to become a sailor on board the USS McMorris, DE-1036. DE stands for Destroyer Escort. So I came on board, I think it's May 25th, 1964, at 0800. I'll never forget that. 0800, I walked across the gangplank. And at 1600, or 4 p.m. that day, we headed to South Vietnam, the very same day. And I spent from May 1965 to December 1965 off the coast of Vietnam. Our job was to interrogate suspected Viet Cong. This is just as the Vietnam War is really cranking up. So we spent 6 months just off the coast of Vietnam. I remember it was somewhere between a half a mile and a mile. And then we got back to Pearl Harbor Christmas, 65, and then I came home for a 30-day furlough. And in 1966, we spent the entire time in the Central Pacific Ocean. The missions, as far as I know, are still classified, so I'm not going to talk about them. But on November 24th, 1966, I went across, the McMorris went across the equator. And I even remember when, well, I got a big sign downstairs, but it was 164 degrees, 52 minutes west. And I cannot describe that all-day ceremony. It started early in the morning, and it went till dark. And much of it I couldn't repeat on the radio anyway. Oh, no. But it was an all-day. I'm just going to give you one stop in that all-day deal. Mm-hmm. So we're going across. By the way, if you've never been across, you're a polywog. And if you've been across, you're a shellback. There was about 160 on board. That's all we had. Remember, we're a small one. And I'd say about 130 of us were polywogs, and 30 of them were doing out the punishment, if that's the word, and it is. They were called shellbacks. So there was 30 and 130, roughly. But one stop, we put on blindfolds. Well, most of the whole trip aboard the ship, across the ship, on the deck, we were blindfolded. So now we're blindfolded, and they say, why don't you climb this ladder? So we climb and climb. I don't know how high. Don't have the slightest. And then they said, jump off. So you jump. And now you're in water. And now they tell you to take the blindfold off. And honest to God, we were about above ankle deep in blood. You took that blindfold off, and then you saw three sharks. They had been gutted, but you don't realize that, and it's blood. And I'm telling you, that was scary. But after I got through that thing, I watched others go through, and it was funny. It was funny. But the whole thing was blood. And then another thing I really want to mention, by the way, that year I come home at Christmas and got married, and we've still been together 47 years. But 5 weeks after I got married on January 30th, 1967, we were doing operations 200 miles south of Honolulu, Hawaii. I call it Hawaii. And at 1036, which is the same number as our ship, 1036, we had a collision at sea. we got hit by a oiler called the USS Tom Bigby, AOG-11. The Tom Bigby carried thousands of gallons of diesel fuel. That's where we got our gas at sea. And she hit us. At 10:36, I'm in bed getting ready for a mid-watch from midnight to 4 a.m. And it came through. The Tom Bigby came through our ship store. I don't know what you would call that. What would you call that, Annie? But anyway, ship store, our bathroom, our shower room. And then it came on into what you and I call, we didn't call it that, our bedroom. I've never changed this story, but it came halfway through our bedroom, just a few feet farther. Both sides, the whole ship would have sunk thousands of feet in the Pacific Ocean. But it stopped halfway through our bedroom. It missed my feet. The bow of the ship missed my feet. I've never changed this story by 18 inches. And it knocked me out of bed. Another guy on top of me fell down on me. And two men very close to me died because of that collision. One just 2 feet away. And another one right beside me had both of his legs amputated. They cut him out of steel at about 4 a.m. in the morning. One of these that was killed was the electronics chief senior mate. That's an E-8. And he had served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Now, I don't know if this is a true story, but I remember people telling me, do you know that Chief Owens, the day that he died, had gone to the personnel office to take out his discharge papers? I don't know if that's true, but that's the way I remember it. And the other one that died was right beside me, electronic technician Floyd Frick of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he died instantly. So the oiler missed me by 18 inches, but I don't know how long we were trapped. I'm not even going to try to tell you. But what's amazing, we got hit by an oiler carrying diesel fuel, sparks flying everywhere in that bedroom, everywhere, and it never blew up. I received several lacerations on my skull and my legs, but and that's the extent of it. Nothing serious. I didn't spend time in the hospital. But it took 5 days for us to be towed back to Pearl Harbor at 5 miles an hour. We had to be towed, and then we'll spend 3 months in dry dock and at Pearl Harbor, and the cost will exceed 1967 money, a little over $1 million, the way I remember it. All crewmen had the option to leave if they desired, but I elected to stay. And in May of 1967, we went back to sea. It was quite a feeling. I went right back to the same place where it came in. You know, they had worked on it and got it going again. And it was scary, to say the least, but anyway. And so, and then Kathy and I left Pearl Harbor on January 5th, 1968. And I was discharged on January 10th, 1968, 2 days before my mother died of breast cancer. So I did get to see her before she passed away.
Well, it sounds like Mr. Bergstrom got a very intense education at a very young age.
I did, and I've never regretted it. I remember the recruiter in Hastings says, you know, Gary, you can see the world, and it isn't going to cost you anything. I didn't really get to see the world, but I know one thing I got to see. I got to see the Pacific Ocean, the biggest thing on the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, one time we were... The rumor came flying through the ship, you're going to Australia, you're going to Australia. And we did. We headed south towards Australia, but for some reason we got turned back. So I never got there. I did get to Midway Island a lot. I did get to the Philippines a lot. I did get to Guam a lot. And I did get to South Vietnam, but I didn't get anywhere east, of course. I'd never anywhere around Europe or any of that. I never got any of that. But, and, of course, I'll be honest with you. When I got home, Jim, it wasn't very much, but my wife and I were married, and we needed everything we could help, even though we were both working, trying to go through college. And I got some of the GI Bill. Yeah, I got some of it.
Overall.
And that was very helpful.
Yeah, overall, a very positive experience for you.
I think so. And as I told you yesterday when you called me, I pushed the military when I was teaching on kids who I thought maybe needed some of that training, that discipline, and I'd push it right on them because it did me a lot of good.
I sure appreciate your time, and we do salute you for your service. Thank you for everything you did for us, too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.